This is CliffCentral.com. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Yet again, another one of those absolutely fantastic, fantastic Thursdays. Man, it's the shortest hour of the week. That's what I like to call it, because the conversations are really, really that engaging that sometimes time just seems to fly past. Welcome to it. It's CliffCentral.com, and you tuned in to Unplugged and In Charge. Thank you very much for listening in, whether you're listening to the podcast right now or, in fact, listening live. Thank you so much for always being part of the tribe of superstar leaders. My name is Weza. They call me Weza, that guy. Some were like, where you talk like that every day? I don't talk like that every day. I talk like this every day. I'm joking. It's crazy, right? I don't know. Guys, to myself, I sound normal. And to other people, they're like, no, this is not normal. So I don't know what's going on. But what I definitely do know is that every time we have this show, man, we have great conversations. We got people doing amazing things. And, you know, quite a lot's going on in the country right now. And what I'm looking forward to is just having a chat with people that are also building their careers, building their dreams one brick at a time, whether they're already there or whether they're on the way there. And there's, of course, always lessons that they can teach us in the process. And when we learn from each other, that's how we grow, and that's how we grow even quicker and go to where we want to go faster as well. I also have on the line with me Bruce Chapman. Now, Bruce is someone we had a chat with a while ago. He's the managing director of Southern Sun Maputo Mozambique, and I just wanted to recap with him. I know that last time we had a chat, it was over telephone. It was not always so clear, but I mean, he had an amazing, amazing story to tell about how he came from, you know, humble beginnings to being at the level that he is on right now. Let me actually start the conversation by chatting to Bruce. Bruce, are you on the line, sir?
Yeah, here in sunny Maputo, beautiful day here, waves are lapping against the hotel beach, and wow. Looking forward to chatting to you and your listeners.
Wow, Bruce, you're making me feel jealous, man. You are enjoying, you know, summer days all the time. I mean, I feel like Mozambique is like always summer. Don't you agree?
You're 100% correct. It's a very relaxed, chilled place, and just come join us for a weekend. It's a really nice venue.
So tell me, Bruce, do you think that you actually work, or are you just on a permanent holiday?
Well, it depends who's listening. For anybody, if you enjoy what you do, it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this for 40 years, and every day has been a real pleasure for me. I really enjoy it. And that's so important. Life's too short. So if you're not enjoying your job, look for something you enjoy.
Wow. Bruce, you're saying that you've been in this for 40 years. Now, that's a lifetime. That's like two of my lifetimes almost. It is really, really something amazing to say that, you know, you are at a place now where you're enjoying what you do almost every single day. Let's kind of track back 40 years ago before it all started for you. What were you doing? I wanted to recap the story, because now at least we can hear it in high definition.
Yeah, well, if I go back to when I was about 15, used to part-time job at weekends, used to go and work at a pleasure resort in England, and we used to wait on tables, we used to go and drive the train around the old quarry pits, and we would do odd jobs. Mm. And I always said to me, wherever I go in the world, I'll always have a job, because people are always going to eat, sleep, and drink.
Yeah.
And if you think back to times of war, you know, the hotels stayed open, the pubs stayed open, and you can't replace me with a computer. Mm. So it's something, I've got a job for life. Wow. And that's what got me into the industry.
Wow, quite excellent. And starting so young, already you had the right type of mindset, whereas other people were always, you know, always chilling because they knew that they've fathers or mothers could take care of things, you decided to be proactive and start doing some odd jobs and start learning the right skills. Do you think that, you know, in the teenage years, some of those interpersonal skills that one learns from working really proved vital for you going forward?
I think so, because the thing that we do, we are always learning from people. And I think from a young age, I was always observing my elders and, you know, why people do that. And okay. And I had a bit of a mentor in those days that took me under his wing and showed me the ropes. And I then went off to college and learned how to cook and how to, you know, fillet a fish and how to pluck a chicken and all those basic things. And yeah, and also then you went off onto the nicer parts. I can remember doing my first wine course at the age of 18.
Wow, just
in London with
as soon as you were
Francis and James.
So as soon as you got legal to start drinking, you did a wine course immediately.
Yeah, very much so. You know, and from there the rest is history. You know, you just never stop learning in this business. It's so diverse, and today obviously technology plays a huge role. But it still comes back to that basic. It's all about people. Mm. It doesn't matter where you are. It's about people, the guests, your staff, and your suppliers, all part of the whole team to make sure that you run a successful operation. Yeah. You don't always get it right, but it's also if you make a mistake, it's how you recover from that mistake.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're mentioning some really important things right there. Now, when I look through your career, just some of the highlights, you started off as a trainee manager. Okay, maybe not started off, but at some point you became a trainee manager in Leicester, in Holiday Inn. That was in the United Kingdom. And then, of course, you came over to South Africa. You were in East London, assistant food and beverage manager there. And you started growing your way into deputy general manager in Mill Park, still at the Holiday Inn. Eventually you came to Funderbijl Park. That's where I'm from. You were the general manager at the Holiday Inn there. And things started to grow for you from there, Pietermaritzburg, and then from Pietermaritzburg, you literally, it feels like you traveled the country and then eventually left the country. Zambia, we were the general manager there, and now in Maputo in Mozambique. What do you think you can attribute to your success and your career growth, you know, from where you started to where you are right now?
Hard work. But also, I keep going back to it, a love for what you do. Mm. It makes it very easy if you enjoy what you do. Obviously, along the way, I've made some mistakes, but you can always rectify those and keep going forward and have a positive frame of mind.
Yeah.
You know, when you wake up in the morning, you have two choices, be happy or be sad. Mm. Be happy, you know, and you'll get through the day. Mm. And I'm a very simple person, and I just believe that... you know, and you must treat the people with respect, whether it's your staff, your guests, treat them with respect and try and put yourself in their shoes as a client and try and then understand what the client wants from you.
Yeah, yeah. This is amazing, Bruce, because I feel like you're now having a conversation with people starting their careers and you are pretty much close to the, you know, close to the final chapters of your career in this particular, you know, phase of your book. Obviously the book still carries on, but you know, and it's great to hear that, you know, you are where you are and you're happy. Like you woke up today and it was a sunny beach outside and it's just lovely weather.
Oh.
And you're just living your best life and you're at work. Like, wow, isn't that what a career is supposed to look like?
And you end your day sitting on the deck, looking at the sun going down, and you see the moon coming up, and then the moon shimmering on the waves, and you're having a nice gin and tonic, and it's a gentle breeze, and the waves are lapping there. What more can I wish for?
Wow.
You know, very spoiled. Very, very spoiled.
No, well done, Bruce. And this is really encouraging, because that's how we are supposed to kind of want to design our ideal outcome to be as well. And you saying that, you know, you can, as long as you love what you're doing and you work hard in doing it.
Yeah, I think it's very simple. You know, I can remember my father giving me a piece of advice. He says, if you're not happy with the company, then you must resign. But whilst you're working for that company, make sure that you always give your best to the company and the job you're doing. So if you're unhappy, I know that might sound easy, but, you know, because sometimes jobs are not hard to come by. So sometimes you have to stick in a job you're not happy with. But you should always be looking for something where you're going to be happy.
Yeah, yeah. Now, just in closer to the conclusion of this conversation, Bruce, because you've traveled so much, you've literally enjoyed many types of holiday destinations, even though you were working there. But you've seen Africa. What do you have to say to encourage South Africans in terms of here's a another festive season coming up, and we're thinking, yeah, maybe I should go back to the same place I always go to, which is still in South Africa. Let's talk about traveling outside the country. Is it expensive? Is it affordable? Is it worth it? Tell us what we can expect if we do so.
Okay, well, this year we started with a summer sale campaign, which is they've extended. It's usually just in South Africa, but this year they've extended it to Mozambique and the Seychelles. And we've got some very good specials that will be coming out later today. You need to book and pay for it when you make the booking. And it will make it very affordable for South Africans to travel to Mozambique this Christmas. It runs December. There's a blackout period over the New Year period, but it runs through to the 15th of January. And if you think about it, we're 6 to 7 hours from Johannesburg. Yes, you do have a border to cross, and the time there could be half an hour, unfortunately, sometimes perhaps 3 or 4 hours on certain days of the Christmas period, but the border is open 24 hours. So I'd say come down to Mozambique and have a look-see. You know, if you want the swimming beaches, you need to drive about 40 minutes outside of Maputo to some nice swimming beaches. But lots to do here, walking safaris, great nightlife, great prawns, seafood, and just a nice chilled atmosphere. It's Mozambique or Maputo's got something special about it. You just feel you're so relaxed here.
Well, thank you very much for that, Bruce. Hopefully we can all make plans to come down there, and we'll have some sundowners with you watching the sun go down and the moon come up. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. No, as I say, and you're really, if you look at it, you're only 3 hours from Nelspruit. You're just down the road from Nelspruit. And obviously we've got the new bridge, which will be opening shortly, and that will take you from over to Katembe, which opens up the whole of the southern part of Mozambique. Most people take the ferry across at the moment. So when that opens up, it means you won't have to go through Swaziland. You can come straight in from Cozy Bay and straight up the Pontedora and straight up to Maputo. So that should cut down the time coming from Durban by a couple of hours. And the marginal is now 4 lanes on the marginal. The municipality has done a big ring road around Maputo now. So lots of things to come and see, and lots of improvements in Maputo.
Great stuff. Well, that's all we have time for, Bruce. But thank you so much for that chat. And also thank you very much for telling us about how to really design our careers so that, 40 years down the line, we're still really happy with where we want to be. Thank you very much for that. We hope that you have a great time. And see you soon.
Thanks very much. And good luck with the rest of your show.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Great. So that was Bruce Chapman. Man, he's sounding like he's having a great time out there. Wow, and that's pretty much how a career is supposed to be, right? You're like 40 plus, maybe, let's say you started at 23, so you're like already about maybe 63, you're about to retire, but it's relaxed, man. It's exactly what you wanted. Everything happened the way you wanted it to happen. I'm sure, and he's got that German car parked outside waiting. Justin Jay living his best life, which is an amazing way to live indeed. I do have a couple of great guests in the studio with me, and I'm going to be chatting to them. I'm not even sure who to start with because they got such great stories. Let me hear from them, actually. Who do we start with? Is it ladies first? Is it guys first? Wow.
It can be ladies first.
Guys, are you shy?
Guys are shy, right?
No, we're not. We're just giving you the platform you deserve. You know?
I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
Is this what is the consensus? Let me just hear from them. What is the consensus? Is it a rock, paper, scissors type of thing?
I think it's a rock, paper, scissors. Okay, cool. Let's do it.
Cool stuff. So we'll start chatting to Buhle.
Yes,
we're going to chat with you first then. Let me get it right. Buhle Khatebe, right?
Yeah, okay, Bungane. Cool.
All right. Yeah, you have to mention all of them.
Bungane, Mthimkhulu, Makhulukhulu, Mashemahle, Nyamazane, Mahlakovu. Yes, guys, I could go on forever.
You know, I just needed one of those guitars from Mushwini Nomtwekhala.
Unexpected, right?
Yeah, no, but it's really cool. It's really cool. And it's always good, you know, to know your roots and to know where you come from.
Yeah.
Because you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it really does sometimes play a good role in, you know, you understanding yourself and understanding where you want to go as well.
It really does. For me, it's also pretty conflicting because I am a Christian. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will be like, why unesiphandla? Why this? Mm. First and foremost, ngumZulu. Mm-hmm. I need to be grounded in my culture, my traditions, and I will follow them. Mm-hmm. You cannot say you want to have ilobolo paid for you, but you refuse to follow everything else, mm-hmm. you know? So for me, it's very important to keep in touch with that part of who I am.
That's actually interesting what you just said there, because are you taking some of it and leaving
exactly,
the rest?
Exactly.
Or you take everything?
I know, English is a ton of cats. We like to make our own packages. You can't.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't. You have to do it all.
Mm.
If you're going to do it right.
Yeah. Mm. So you've decided you're having lobola paid. That's why you're doing everything else.
No. I mean, that's going to come after, English. But in the meantime, I must do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And I had to have a traditional ceremony in my birthday month for certain reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it without hesitation. Not ukuthi abantu bazothini, wara, wara, wara. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. When I have to describe you in a couple of sentences, I have a write-up right here, but I have a feeling that you can describe yourself even better.
But I like that write-up because wrote it.
Cool stuff. I'll try to say it with.
Plus, your voice brings that thing to it.
Really?
Yes. It does that wizard, that guy. So do it. Come do it. Let's hear.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's see what.
Let's put the spice.
Mercy wrote my life.
What is good? Come on, focus.
Okay, I'm listening.
All right, cool. There we go. Mercy wrote my life. I'm a big sister, writer, model, actress, speaker, life preserver that conquered depression and anxiety.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Sounded like a Sunday morning.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. We in Mozambique there by the beaches.
Living the best life with Bruce.
You know?
All right. Cool. So let's get into it. Man, you know, there's quite a number of things that you say that you are here.
Yes.
Let's look into some of them.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, big sister. So how big is the family?
It's not that big. There's only five of us. It's myself, my younger sister, my brother, and my mom and dad, obviously.
Yeah.
But with the way my direction took with regards to conquering depression and anxiety, I became a big sister to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because people, I feel for me, if I had a big sister that could sort of guide me, it would have been so much different.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in a position to be that for others, which is why I call myself a life preserver, because there's nothing else that I want to do than to help others preserve their life. Because, you know, it's so easy to be like, come on, it's very easy.
Mm.
So I feel that one of my life purposes is to be that big sister that will help you to preserve your life.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually quite interesting. You know, I say it's interesting is, first of all, that, we come from now hearing that, one of our artists, WHP, just passed away.
Yes.
And the conversation that just came up is around depression and anxiety and how real these type of things are.
Mm.
And a friend of mine this morning said, you know, no one checks on the strong one. You know, if let's say, for instance, if you guys are friends, normally everyone checks on the weaker one, but no one checks on the strong one.
Mm-hmm.
to say, hey man, how are you doing? Is everything still fine with you? You saying that you played a big sister role to many people. Did you feel at the time that people were checking on you just as much as you were checking on them?
To be honest with you, I was actually thinking about this. Only out of all the people in my life, only three people actually checked up on me. And I have a lot of people in my life. Three people, not including my family. So when I got to a point where I was like, okay, saying right mind is shut, depression, I'm moving forward. I was like, I cannot allow the next person to go through it the way I did. I mean, sure, I had the support system that I needed from those three people out of the millions that I knew. But I know that I need to be that immediate contact. That's why my social media is set up the way it is, because you can immediately contact me and I'm able to have that conversation with you. If I don't know the answer or the way to direct you, I will tell you that, listen, we'll figure it out together. You know.
Yeah.
So to an extent, I did have the support that I needed. I just wish it was more from the people I wanted it from.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Okay. And that's also, I mean, that's another interesting part right there. Sometimes our families don't necessarily know that we're going through things, and how would they know if we don't tell them?
But also, you need depression, Zulu. Like, what are you going to say? For instance, I remember there was an incident that happened. I'm not going to name names or whatever, but a family member, like, jokingly said to me at one time, "Yin, you need depression," and they laughed. And if only they knew that in that moment, after they had said that, I literally was about to go out and comfortably drive over, you know, when you're driving on the highway, drive over the the bridge, because you just laughed at me. So it's a fact of, how do you explain to a black parent what depression is? From which place do you start? It's easy to have this conversation as young people on Twitter, on social media. Kumnandi, it's great. We can have this, check on your strong friends, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, the people that have to bury you when you're dead, how do you tell them that this is what's happening? This is what's going through my mind. That's the type of conversation that I want to start and have going through for each other. And she assaulted, because I want to try to figure out, and it's not something I'm going to figure out alone. How do we do it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you speak of She Assaulted. That is your, is that your blog? Is it bigger than just a blog at the moment?
It is. It's so much bigger than just a blog.
Yeah.
Guys, She Assaulted, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. It's much bigger than that. It is a blog. It started off as just a blog, but it's also a support structure for people going through depression with anxiety on Instagram under For Each Other. So it's a support structure, but it's going to be much bigger, much, much bigger.
Excellent. No, we love hearing, you know, about things that are going to be bigger and better in times to come, which is really cool. So, yeah, man, this depression topic is actually quite interesting. So you saying that there was a time where you felt like you were comfortably, and you use the word comfortably, drive over a bridge, which is what goes through a person's mind when they have to realize, I think I'm depressed. Because I think a lot of people think they're depressed, but they are not depressed, and they're just sad, or they're just bored or something. And then there are people who are really depressed.
Yeah.
You saying that you conquered it, meaning that once upon a time you had depression.
I did.
And how do you know that you had depression?
Okay, so this is something I went through for 22 years of my life. I say 22 because...
Oh, Kanti, aren't you 22 right now?
I'm 23. So this year was the year where I was like, I can stand on my own. I do not need a crutch. Only Christ is my crutch. Only this year. So I say for 22 years because it's something that happens through your surroundings, how you are raised, the things that happen around you. The only time I actually understood, hey, Helen, guys, I'm actually sick. I'm sick. Not like sick as in sick, but I don't function the way I should be functioning. I have no reason to feel this way, but this is not normal. So I think I was just in between high school. Yeah, I was finishing matric, and that's when I started being bulimic. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another thing. A black girl being bulimic? How, Batong? How do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So with that, I was like, clearly something wrong. For me to push myself to a point where I have to purge, to sleep, something is not okay. But I did nothing about it. And people at home, they knew. They knew. Kuti, uzodla, and then uzoyokhipha. They knew.
Yeah.
But also, how do they handle it? So as time went by, when I turned 21, that's when I was like, hey, kakate, guys, clearly in a depression. Because it got to a point where I no longer wanted to get out of bed and bath. I no longer wanted to be around people. I felt worthless. I had no reason to feel worthless. What depression does to you, it makes you feel as if you're a stain on the surface of the earth. You have nothing to offer. That's what it makes you feel like. And it's an eternal numbness. It's a numbness that goes deeper than your actual feeling on your skin. It's so deep. So that's when I knew that I had depression. When I felt like, okay, if I walk, like walking to school from the Gautrain station, I can just step in front of this car and it's over. That's when I knew that something was wrong. When I felt like I can go in front of this car and ngiraiti, everything's over, I have nothing to feel. Because the thing is, it's not about your body, it's about what your spirit feels like. When your spirit feels like, I no longer want to be on this earth, it's chai time.
Mm.
So that's when I knew.
And what did you do once you knew?
So it happened 2 years ago, in the same year that I was born again.
Yeah.
So it was a very conflicting time. Like, how can I just find you, Jesus, and then you're going to leave me in the darkness? Like, what do you even mean by that? So the people or the person that was in my life that anchored me to this world stuck with me through it, but then when it got to a point where even I could not figure out how to fix it, I tried to go to the gym. I tried to, you know, there's always ways for them to tell you how to do it. Go to the gym, take a walk, speak to a friend, blah, 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 all these solutions. They don't work. They really don't work. Until I got to a point where I was like, there is absolutely nothing I can do. I don't want to die. I don't want to give up just yet, but there's nothing I can do. What else can I do? I cried, guys. And I know this is going to sound weird, but I was like, I had a feeling. I was like, let me pray. I'm going to pray, but I'm not just going to pray. I'm going to pray with my spirit, and I'm not going to use words that any other man understands. I'm going to use words that my creator understands. And that was the first time I prayed in the spirit. I prayed. It was messy, snots everywhere. I hadn't bathed, like, because I didn't want to bath. It is a messy thing. Snots everywhere, tears. I'm on the floor crying. And in that moment, I knew. I was like, hold on. I am not worthless. That was the first time I spoke to depression. I looked at it and I'm like, listen, I am not worthless. My creator has created me to be of worth and to have a purpose. That one day for me was the change of everything. Like, I changed how I viewed my spirituality, my faith. Because the thing is also, it's not a conversation that's had at church. It's not a conversation that's had in places that it needs to be had. So I had this conversation with myself and my creator. And that's when I started building the platform. And then I decided, if I speak to people and I tell them that, listen, yeah, bongu be posh. Yes, you see me on Instagram. You think my life is perfect, but it's not. So the moment I became relatable to the next person, that's when I started finding my true healing.
Yes. Wow! Now that this is an interesting journey, as you put it, and as you say, you know that it's not often had in the right places, it should be, and that's why you decided to do something about it, right?
100%.
Wow! But you know, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday. You know, as we found out the news about WHP, and the guy was saying, "But is it really that bad?" Can't you?
Yeah.
Do you think that there's something you can't fix? Like, you know, is it money? Is it relation? And I think on the outside, people don't really know what this really is and how to fix it, because it feels like, look, if we are kolota,
it is a,
you know what I mean? Like, just don't stress so much, or you overthink, man. Like, don't be so emotional. You'll get another girlfriend if it's, you know. What did you feel like caused it? Because we talk about the dealing, but when we talk about what do you feel like were some of the things that triggered or caused you to even be there in the first place?
Okay, so when I say this is something that is encompassed by your surroundings, how you grow up and the environment in which you're raised. For me, it had a lot to do with my home situation.
Yeah.
In matric, when I got to a point where I was like, oh, guys, man, just send that lands up and so lala. For me to sleep, I need to purge because it drains your energy. I knew that it's deeper than rap. Like, it's deeper than what I thought it was. So how do I even begin to answer this? Like, it's a very emotional topic for me because I watch people that I love watch me and not know what I'm going through. Mm. Or not know what I was going through. Then I'm sitting there and I'm like, how can you say you love me if you don't know what I'm going through? How do you do that? So it wasn't a matter of fixing anything. It's the relationships that I had in the house surroundings. It's the relationship that I had outside of the house. How I chose to love and all of that. It's the fact that bingana mali for me to go to varsity. So I had to start working at the age of 18 in an industry that's just absolutely brutal if you're coming in entry level. So it was a financial strain, emotional strain, and how I chose to deal with it. How I chose to deal with all of that effectively pushed me to where I was. I chose to love everybody else more than I loved myself. So that's why I always say I loved from a place of fear and a place of darkness. Because in that moment, when I took away self-care and I cared for everyone else other than myself, that's where I lost the plot.
Hmm.
That's honestly where I lost the plot.
So how do we not lose the plot?
You know what the thing is? I always say there's no tailor-made way to conquer depression and anxiety.
Mm.
In that same way, there's no tailor-made way that you become depressed or you experience anxiety. It's all person-specific, which is why I say all these things that Google tells you will help you to deal with depression, it's a lie, because there's no one way to deal with it.
Mm.
It's the same as we've got the South African what of depression and what. I called them the one time, guys, I'm ordering McDonald's takeaway because of the way how it's so... They deal with it in such a way that everybody has depression the same way. And it's not true. Everybody has their own way to deal with it, which is why I start personal conversations with people and I deal with what they're going through the way they're going through it. If you're depressed because of a long distance relationship or a relationship ending after a long time, I will deal with it from the perspective of what I've experienced from my 4-year relationship ending. If it's because of financial strain, I have experience in that. So I've got experience in as many dimensions as I can mention with regards to depression. So I can reach out to the next person from that level.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yo, okay. Yeah, no, it is quite a, you know, a complex topic, and it's also quite complex to understand.
Yes.
Also, from from the outside, whether you are going through it or whether you just want to understand people going through it, it's complex from both sides, because I think what was even worse is being in it and not even understanding
that you're in it,
or how to get out of it, or what caused you to be here.
Yes.
You just know, and it's so weird. Like you can't really just put a, you know, a finger on it and say it's this.
Mm-mm.
Just take this out, because I'm sure at some point your parents were like, no, there's this lady who's just going to slaughter something and then she'll stop all this nonsense. No, maybe there's an ancestor that's not happy, so now she picked her to
do
you know? You know, there are those type of things also, and there are many false diagnostics that you get from different people.
Mm.
Sometimes people who care about you, so they'll do something thinking that
it's
after we do this, it'll all be okay. Or maybe someone's like, no, she's going through her phases. Usile, she uyapapa. Just, you know what I mean? Just take a belt and just whip
it out of her. Hey guys, and there are people that do that though. That's the thing.
Was there once upon a time where they almost hit it out of you?
No, but that's the thing. With me, they chalked it off to the fact that I obviously own engani, obviously atelela, obviously attitude. So that's why she's acting out. That's literally what they chalked it out to. And I did start acting out. I started doing things because firstly my parents are strict. So I started doing things like, guys, this is on time, ne? Nga jump on my fence. Like, I started doing extreme things. All in the name of, look at me, understand what I'm going through. But it never happened. And that's why I feel that I need to start this dialogue the way I've experienced it, because I can tell you for sure the way this black child has experienced it is exactly the same way another black child has experienced it. Yes, it's not the same, but the concept of ukuthi what is depression? Yes, Zulu. They're going to want to take you to Inyang and don't all of that. But with me at my house, that didn't happen because firstly, we're not, my family doesn't have like a grounding, whether Christian or traditional. So what they did, they just allowed me to live my life. Like it wasn't, they literally chucked it off to me being stoked.
Yeah.
So I had to do it all by myself.
Mm. But and then you conquered it. Well done.
100%, nigga.
And how do you know you've conquered it? Like, you know, what was different the next day or the next week or the next month?
Okay, so conquering it is not an immediate thing. Yeah. It was never today I'm done. Mm. It was just one more day. Just one more day. One more day. Wake up. One more day. Geza. One more day. Look nice. One more day. Put on something cute. One more day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was an everyday type of thing until it got to a point where I had stretches of good days, a month of good days. And it literally did become months. And then it got to a point where I was like, I never found my self-worth in what the next person has to say or what they don't have to say. Because honestly, I even got to a point where I wasn't looking for happiness because happiness is short-lived. I was looking for joy. There's a difference. Joy is being content in any and every situation. It's a biblical concept. Like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's literally one of the verses I live by. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And once I knew that that was it for me, how shame? Depression, what, where, who? You know?
Yeah. Awesome. That sounds really great. And it's also good that, you know, you're defining it in the right way, I think, as well. Man, okay, cool. And then there's other parts of your career. And I mean, there's a part of, you know, we went through a number of them. Which one would you like to talk about next? Because that was just Big Sister. And that took up, you know, so much. Yeah.
No, but the Big Sister is, it's all of it.
Yeah.
It's first that and then that. Then I'm a writer. Then I write about being a Big Sister. I write about all my experiences.
Yeah.
The modeling part, how shame, if you can see me on Instagram, you're going to listen to my message about being a Big Sister and my depression, you know. The acting part, I'm telling you my story. Yes, I would love to tell someone else's story and be an actress. Mm. But in the meantime, God has said that you're going to tell your own story first.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's all together.
It's all together.
It's just gelled together.
That's how it works. Okay, cool. And then now let's talk about the hustle. Let's talk about what, you know what I mean? What you're doing from here going forward. Mm. What do you think you want your 40 plus years from now to look like? You know, we just had a chat to Bruce Chapman. He had that nice 40 plus experience. He's already living it. And I want to hear what yours is.
You know what's so funny? Because I'm in the exact same industry as Bruce. I'm in hospitality.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say which hotel I work for, called Stalkers. But I work for a very well-established hotel. I started when I was 18, working in hospitality.
Oh.
So like Bruce said, everything he said about the lessons that it teaches you how to look after people, 100% true. I related with everything that he has to say. The only difference with me is that this is not the end all and be all. Unfortunately, I'd rather own a hotel than work, you know, in a hotel. So hopefully by now, I'm actually, like, in the next 40 years, hopefully I'm actually living what I want to live, and that is to tell stories, guys. Acting for me has always been my first love and will always be the one and only love. It's a bit difficult to get into it because firstly, dodgy directors, there's just a lot of dodge agencies that are trying to rip you off. There's a lot of dodginess happening around that, which is why it's taking me much longer than people would expect it to, because I'm very picky, disgustingly picky, not because I think I'm too good for anything. No, because I know your motive behind you offering this to me. Mm. You want to lay it down. I ain't finna have that happen. So that's why it's taking so long for me to get to where I want, because I'm using discernment to get there. I know it's not gonna happen now, but for the meantime, I'm very comfortable telling my own story until I'm able to tell someone else's story.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay. So acting is the main love.
Yes.
And that's where you want to see it all happen for you.
I mean,
you.
Come on. Can you not tell?
And another part of it all has to do with with owning things like hotels. So that's entrepreneurship in a way.
Yes, yes. Yeah. My She Assaulted is about to become a money-making machine too.
Yeah.
So, like, entrepreneurship, I think, guys, at the end of the day, when you get into the hustle, one way or another, you're going to get into entrepreneurship one way. Like, it's impossible not to, because we're in an economy where you have to capitalize on everything. Like, yeah, even your following is a currency. You cannot just sit on it, you know. So for me, I've always had that concept of capitalizing on absolutely everything.
Which is a really great thing.
Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. Stuff. Okay, cool. Well, that is, in a nutshell, all of you, right?
Yes, yes.
Which is really cool, which is really cool. And I always think that, you know, entrepreneurship should be something that's pushed, and it is something that can really be very rewarding. In fact, if you mm-hmm. treat it well. I understand that you also, though, have this She Assaulted, which is a place that feels to me like a counseling type of environment. Mm-hmm. You know, I was imagining that you were going to say that, you know, psychology is something that you want to go into. No. And then you want to help people on the deeper level. And
I do. Look, it will. Just not psychology, because firstly, we have a very low count of black psychologists in our country.
Yeah.
My dad, even when I wanted to become a psychologist, like, who's going to go to a black psychologist? So for me, I'm not going to go through that route. I'm not. I'm going to go through the route that is relatable to the next black child.
Okay.
You're going to see Ubuhle wearing a top that says She Assaulted. One, you're going to want to buy it. Two, you're going to want to know what's happening behind it. Three, you're going to sit down and listen to me talk. So that's three things: capitalism, psychology, it's everything.
Yeah. Okay, cool. But what about qualifying yourself in it? Or do you feel like there's qualifying yourself or being qualified?
You see, that's a very funny thing for me, because I was doing law for 3 years and I dropped it.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing VA communication sciences. So for me, it's not that I don't look down at qualifications. It's just, I'm in an industry where I should have a qualification, and I don't. You know what I'm saying? And not because Nyazitemba too much, but simply because I'm willing to learn. And if there's one thing I always stand by, I never want to mislead you. So if I don't know the answer to something that is psychological in that regard, I will direct you to the next person that I need to. I won't ever take it into my own hands and be like, Aisha, mina, yimi, ya, yimi lona, mina, ya, nzozienza zonke. Never that.
Yeah.
So also, She Assaulted is also going to be something that outsources the right resources that you need, you know. I wanted to get it to a point where it doesn't cost you anything to come to me. And it's just something that lives on its own, lives and breathes on its own, which is why I have, like, you know what I'm saying? The entrepreneurship has to happen, because if She Assaulted is going to fund itself to help someone else, for you to come to me without having to pay me,
yeah,
that's perfectly fine for me. That's how I want it to go. I want it to run itself without costing the next person anything.
Yeah. Oh, pretty cool. Pretty cool. And that is how you build something out of nothing, and you actually grow it and grow it, and you actually look at what your strong points are, and you use those to actually find yourself going forward faster and faster as well.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that, and thank you very much for sharing your story as well.
Thank you.
Excellent. Great stuff. So, of course, we are also joined by a gentleman who is a Xhosa rapper. In fact, we actually introduced the show with his song, and I think that song is a song called Believer, right? Yeah. Pretty cool song. I was jamming to it a little bit earlier. And now let's get to chat with the man behind it all, Lelo Vandal. How are you doing, brother?
I'm good, and you?
Fantastic. So let's also get into your story, because there's actually a lot that you have under your profile. You know, first of all, you say that you are a musician, but then there's a couple of other things. Share with us.
Okay, Ulolo Vandal. First of all, here Mankalen Bulise, everyone who's listening right now.
Sure.
I am from Eastern Cape, King Williamstown, Ezwelitsha. That's where I was born and raised. But now I'm currently here in Joburg pushing my hustle. So I'm a musician by profession, but I tapped into e-video and film production as well.
Okay.
Yes. And then we also started a magazine. You know, there's a magazine that we're pushing together with Usiana, the guy that I'm with here. Yeah. So I started music in 2007. I've also done radio. Like, I'm doing almost everything that has to do with the art, you know, but I major with music.
Yeah. Okay, cool stuff. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Sianda, share with us a little bit about your magazine real quick, just before we zoom into that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm Sianda. We come from the same town, King William's Town, but what happened, like, we met on Facebook, we started talking, like, via Messenger.
Okay.
Started talking via Messenger. It was about plus or minus 5 years ago, no?
Yeah.
But we only met this side.
Okay.
We come from the same town, but we met this side.
Yeah.
About 2 years ago.
Mm.
So we've been bouncing off ideas off each other, bouncing ideas. Then the magazine came about, AE Magazine, African Elephant Magazine, which we're planning to document everything African.
Mm.
Like what Mohle said, we're trying to build from the ground and we're going up.
Yeah,
We're building. Like with the magazine, we plan to educate. Like people need to know everything African.
Yeah, yeah.
But the world now, the focus is in Africa. And we plan to the magazine to be distributed like in airports. But for now, it's online. We're launching at about the end of this month or beginning of next month.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
launching an online magazine, never quite an easy thing, but always something that is, you know, worthwhile in pursuing, because if it gets big, I mean, I've seen some new magazines in airports and in slow lounges and in areas like that. Really proper, beautiful magazines that I have not seen anywhere else but there.
Yeah.
Meaning that, you know, there is a market, and then there is that possibility of actually, you know, dreaming of something and then have it actually become a reality, right?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Cool. Let's zoom back into you, Lelo.
It's Lolo.
Lolo. Sorry,
yeah,
man. Lelo, Lolo. Yes, Lolo.
Yeah.
So, you come from King William's Town. You're doing everything art right now.
Yeah.
But let's talk about life at King William's Town, because a lot of people don't even know where King William's Town is.
Yeah.
I know where it is because we pass there all the time. You know,
and
driving.
You feel now, you're theater.
Eh, we're not look.
Also me.
Yeah,
you should. Kuluma.
Okay.
Yeah. So tell us about life in King William's Town, as well as you know, some of the things you were thinking of when, you know, growing up there.
Okay, like growing up as a kid in King William's Town, obviously your dreams, there will be a point whereby you feel like there is a limit, you know. Mm. You have to set a limit on how you dream and all that.
Mm.
Just because of the things that we are surrounded by and the people that we are surrounded by, because first of all, there are no resources, there's not enough of resources that we can utilize.
Mm.
You know, but then I've always been that person who always believed in what's within.
Mm.
You know, yeah, so it was an amazing journey growing up, because I'm coming from a loving family. You know, I was raised by my mother and my father. You know, like I grew up like any other kid. I experienced love, I experienced hate, I experienced all those things. But then at the age of 13, that's when I decided, okay, no, who is Lolo, you know. Mm. Because my name is Zukolingetune, but then where I grew up, they couldn't pronounce my name properly, so my parents decided to name me Lolo. They said, okay, no, let's just call you Lolo. You are just Lolo. Wherever you go, whoever asks you who you are Lolo. You don't tell them that you are Zukole, because they're gonna forget.
Yeah.
You know, so what I did as I grew up, I experienced a lot of things, you know, like street cred and all that. So what we did is we fused two characters, Ulolo and Uvandal, which is Ulolo, the boy that comes from that home, you know, that loving home, and the boy who's a dreamer and all that. And then Uvandal, the boy that experienced the street life, because we were spending nights, you know, like trying to master the art, you know. We were out there hustling, because at some point when you grow up, you have to make money. Mm-hmm. Because 2008, I started working at Debonair's Pizza on weekends, you know, just to make some extra cash so that I can be able to push and fund my career, you know. But then I had to drop out 2010 when I was doing grade 12, you know. Yeah, and then
drop out of Debonair's.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I had to focus on my father didn't like that thing of me knowing how to.
How old
make
were you when you started working at Debonair's?
I was 14.
14. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So. Mm. Like, he didn't like that, because he was like, you're gonna expose yourself into how to make money, and then, you know, you're gonna dump and dish like all your studies. And
yeah, some you know, some parents think that, right? They think that when you when as soon as you start making a little bit of money, you will neglect education.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But then I always to like I'm one person who's open. I will tell you if I'm not comfortable with this, you know, or this is how I feel. This is what I believe. This needs to happen for me to be happy, for me to be where I want to be tomorrow, you know. Mm. So after grade 12, I studied social sciences at the University of Fort Hare, and then I had to drop out like after second year because I couldn't, you know, proceed with my studies and all that. But I already started radio there. They were not happy when I was like dropping out, but they understood that this is what had to happen that time. You know, so I relocated from Eastern Cape. 2015, I came to Joburg, and then this side I came. I like the main thing that I came to do is music, you know. So I would get your piece jobs. I've been a salesman at dance, and then I also came and went to Tiponeas again. I was like, guys, I know how to do this.
I know how to make pizza,
you know,
guys.
Yeah, from scratch. I know from cleaning to serving a customer and all that, you know. But then it those jobs couldn't last, you know, because the dream was always there. Like, Lolo, you came for music here. Yeah. You cannot be comfortable because you're going to start making money and then this music thing is going to be a hobby, you know. So I focused on music. Now I have a studio here in Sentin. I'm making my music and everything is coming good.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
What I'm taking from your story is, first of all, you know, you always had a plan. Like, you always had a dream to say, you know, this is what I came here to do.
Yeah.
The other things are things I'm gonna do solanka, just to keep myself floating.
Because
a lot of people want to make it someone else's responsibility to keep you floating. You know, thinking, yes, I want to do this, but can you like just pay for my rent and my things and like it's gonna come? And then as soon as your dad's like, I don't have money for that, then you're like, now I have to go home because there's no money.
And bruh, speaking of that, when I was relocating to Johannesburg, Anita, I was studying at University of Fort Hare. So what I did, I was like, okay, I'm gonna apply at UJ so that I can at least have a place to stay. That was the plan, you know.
Yeah.
And then my father wanted to sell his car, you know, for my studies and all that. But I was like, no, don't sell your car. Because the thing is, if I allowed him to do that, I was going to have that responsibility of bringing back that degree because he had to sell his car.
I know what you mean.
You know, yeah. So I was like, no, don't sell your car, because after we realized that, okay, I couldn't get a bursary this side, you know. Mm. So my dream of finishing my studies at UG, they just vanished. So I was like, but I'm still going to Joburg, you know. And then that's when they got worried because I knew no one this side and all of that and all of that. And then I refused him selling his car because I didn't want that, because the major thing was you there for music, but you have a chance, you know, you can you qualify, you can be enrolled, you know, and be a student, and that way you won't stress about residence because you have a place to stay, you know.
Yeah. So your game plan was, you don't want anyone to guilt trip you, so you don't want any freebies, you don't want any handouts, you don't want any favors, because at the end of the day, when they now start having to have a say in terms of which career you pick, that's going to be a problem, because you don't think they will support this music thing as much as they're supporting education.
That's true.
And if they sell their car, they have a right to say,
hey, Baba. Hey, bring back. And my father is a straightforward guy, you know. If he does something,
bring back the money.
Hey, you know, so I had to be like, no, I'm taking like full responsibility of everything that I'm doing, so that I don't blame you. When it does not work out, I don't come back and say, but you guys were supporting this, you didn't tell me that.
What did you think when you were leaving Grahamstown, coming to Joburg? What did you think is the worst that could happen?
I didn't think of anything negative, but a lot of things happened, you know.
What was the worst that happened?
bruh, like I got a job, I was working with ETV, and then I got a job, like worked for 2 days. On my second day, I was mugged, like on my way home, you know, I was mugged, everything. And the worst part is they wanted to take me inside this dungeon building, you know. And then I was like, guys, you took everything. Serious, you know. You took everything, you know, now...
They still want to take you too.
Yeah, and then I was like, hey, I'm going to be molested now. You know?
Sucks!
And it happened twice.
Oh, no! You know?
It happened twice, but the second time, it was like at gunpoint. And then I was like, shit, I came to Joburg. And, you know, and this is what's happening now. But then those things, they gave me strength because they opened me because I was... When I was growing up, of course, from the hood, you will meet guys that will show you how to make quick cash, you know, and all that. So we were also influenced and we did those things, you know. But the minute we were arrested, that's when I was like, I always wanted to be a musician. I cannot live this life.
Yeah.
So after being in those holding cells for like 2 weeks and all that, I came back and then I was like, guys, if you're going to continue doing this, my friendship with you ends now. I have to focus on my music.
Was that in Joburg? I missed that point. That was in Grahamstown.
In King Williamstown.
In King Williamstown, you know,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. When I was taking a gap year between... because I went to varsity 2012.
Yeah.
You know, I finished high school 2010. So 2011, I was around, you know,
yeah.
I was not doing anything because I didn't believe in applying and all those things. I was one of those guys, but after grade 12, I'm going to be able to focus on my career now.
Yeah.
At least my parents, they know I went to school.
You did your part.
Yeah. Because sometimes what is put in front of you is just get your matric.
Yeah.
So then you thought, okay, matric is the finish line.
And then
yeah, I understand that completely.
Yeah. And
guys,
then,
we've run out of time. And that's what happens when it's the shortest hour of the week.
Yeah,
and I did tell you before we even started the show that it was going to be that quick.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for joining me. And thank you very much for these great conversations. Let's just share handles real quick, social media, just so that they can find you. Lolo, you can go first.
Okay, on Instagram, it's at Lolo Vandalis A, Twitter at Lolo Vandalis A, Facebook Lolo Vandalis A, like everywhere, Apple Music, Google Play, YouTube, you can check my stuff. I have like plenty of music videos, and I also have a mixtape that's out now titled Indlela. The song Believer that we played is taken from that mixtape, and the video is playlisted now on TV. So you can check the mixtape on www.indlelamixtape.co.za.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
The lovely lady.
I get it. You're going to have me as a video vixen. I'm joking. It's at B Posh on Instagram. So that's BHEEPOSH. On Twitter, it's B_Posh. Same spelling, just with an underscore in the middle. Facebook. Hi, guys. There's so many people with my name. I get to... So let's just leave it at Instagram and Twitter. That's it for me. Yeah.
Excellent.
They can check us at AE_magazine.
Cool stuff.
On Instagram, like everything is there. Everything is there.
AE magazine.
AE Entertainment, we're pushing Lolo Vanda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Doing everything.
100%.
Great stuff. Well, thank you very much, guys, for joining me. It has been the shortest hour of the week, and it happens like this every single time. It's Unplugged and In Charge on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.